WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve, ladies and gents. I'm sure many of you can't wait to taste the turkey and relax a little bit with the fam and friends. For those traveling today, travel safely, okay, as you make it to your loved ones. Man, oh man, do I love this time of the year, all right? I know I'm coming back Friday about 10 pounds heavier, but hey, you know, can you blame me? couldn't hurt me. I'm a skinny guy. Couldn't hurt me at all. All right, but welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have all of the news, debates, and topics to get you ready for the holiday weekend, including a preview of the Lions and Packers Thanksgiving game tomorrow, as well as MSU football talk as they try to close out the season on Saturday on the right note. And on today's Barbershop Wednesday, we will talk about the Kobe Bryant contract. Yes, $48.5 million. I'll say it again. $48.5 million. Yes, $48.5 million on his contract extension. What do you think about it? And will Kobe be the same player he was before the Achilles injury? We want you to call in at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And give us your thoughts on it. Okay, we want to get your thoughts and opinions on the whole Kobe Bryant $48.5 million contract extension. It's been the talk of the town in the sports world, and Kobe weighed in on it. And he also Kobe let us know that he won't be returning for some weeks, and we'll talk about that later. But again, give us a call and give us your thoughts on Kobe's contract extension. Again, that's 517-355-9527. In the meantime, we have a lot to get to on today's show, including a chat with Ithaca football coach Terry Hesbrook, who tries to lead his team to four, yes, four consecutive state championships on Friday. Man, that's a lot. They have the longest high school football winning streak in the nation, in the entire nation. In these United States of America, they have the longest high school football winning streak. Get this, 55 straight W's. Can you believe that? 55 straight wins. We will chat with Terry as they get ready for Clinton on Friday. That's a 4:30 p.m. game down at Ford Field. In the meantime, here are your current sports headliners on this November 27th, 2013. All right, MSU and Temple in action last night, women's basketball. Tori Jankowska, she was unbelievable last night, scored 19 points, pulled down 11 rebounds. That's a double-double, folks, as the number 21 team in the nation, well, 18 in the AP poll. Michigan State survived to beat Temple 74-70 Tuesday night at McGonigal Hall. So there you have that. Tori Jankowska, she was unbelievable last night. Now, Tori became the third different Spartan to post a double-double this season. Jankowska, she set season highs in rebounds with 11, assists with 4, and free throws made with 10. Jankowska's 10 free throws made were the most by a Spartan since February 6th of 2011, when Brittany Thomas did it. She actually made 14 versus Purdue. Now, Annalise Pickerell also added 18 points for MSU, while Becca Mills scored 13 to go with her 9 rebounds. Kiana Johnson added 6 assists. The teams traded buckets most of the second half, but MSU was able to take a 3-point lead at the 3:17 mark, and Temple's Tiana Williams, she cut the lead to 67-66 after a pair of free throws. Now, Jankowska answer with a jumper, pushing the lead back to 3. So congrats to the MSU, man. They're rolling right now. The Spartans return in action after the Thanksgiving holiday. They will host IPFW on Sunday at 4:30 p.m. That's a 4:30 p.m. game there. All right, Jordan Lynch, he broke his single-game football subdivision rushing record for quarterbacks with 321 yards. Can you believe 321 yards? This is a quarterback we're talking about, folks. Number 14, Northern Illinois, completed its first unbeaten regular season in 50 years with a 33-14 victory over the lowly Western Michigan University Broncos. This is coming from P.J. Fleck, who is the head coach of Western. He said, quote, Jordan Lynch is the best player in college football, and that's no disrespect to anyone else. The reason is he makes every single guy around him better. He is what Northern Illinois is all about, and with all the pressure, he continues to perform. That's coming directly from the opposing head coach, who has he has a former Northern Illinois star receiver and assistant coach, was big in actually recruiting Jordan Lynch to that team. PJ, this is his first year as head coach of the Western Michigan team. Lynch carried the ball 27 times in topping his previous record of 316 yards set on October 19th against Central. So whenever he's playing Michigan teams, he just goes off, as you see. He established a mark with a 6-yard run with 13:49 to play. He scored on runs of 29, 36, and 37 yards and threw a 10-yard TD. Tuesday's game was the final home game for Lynch and 16 other Northern Illinois seniors. Northern Illinois beat Western for the 5th straight time, but the Broncos still lead the overall series. 23-16 is their record and are 11-9 in DeKalb. So Western is just having a bad season. They are 1-11 on the season, have not won in the conference. Ah, that's just tough for the Broncos. All right, Lions are scumbags, folks. Tuesday, Packers offensive lineman Josh Sitton went on radio in Milwaukee and called the Lions scumbags. Now, during an interview with WSSPAM, Sitton didn't hold anything back as he took jabs at the Lions defense, the Lions defensive coordinator, and even Jim Schwartz, head coach. It all started when Sitton was asked if he thought the Detroit defense would try to take out Aaron Rodgers and if Rodgers were to suit up and play on Thursday. Rodgers isn't expected to play as of right now. Now, this is coming from Sitton. This is directly what he said, folks. Quote, absolutely. They go after quarterbacks. Their entire defense takes cheap shots all the time. That's what they do. That's who they are. They're a bunch of dirtbags or scumbags. That's just how they play. That's how they're coached. So that's directly from Sitton. Sitton didn't stop there either, folks. He also had some choice words for, as I stated, Jim Schwartz and defensive coordinator Gunther Cunningham. And even Lions defensive line coach Chris Korek. This is what he said, quote, that starts with their freaking coach. That starts with their head coach Schwartz. He's a blah, 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 too. I wouldn't want to play for him. It starts with him and their D coordinator and their D line coach. They're all just scumbags, and so are the D line. Now, of course, the Lions defensive line is made up of starters in Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, Willie Young. Three guys that Sitton will see a lot on Thursday as the Packers starting left guard. Complaining about the Lions defense is not new. It's been a popular thing to do this month, I guess you could say. In mid-November, if you remember, Bears wide receiver Brandon Marshall said that the Lions defense plays borderline illegal. Marshall also added that their style of play is kind of, quote, disgusting. So there you have it. A lot of people taking jabs at the Lions defense. We're going to talk about that later on and talk about Sitton's comments because I'm sure they rubbed many people the wrong way. And it's going to be interesting to see Sitton go up against Sue, Fairley, and Young and the rest of that line. Oh, boy, this just stirs the pot, folks. This just stirs the pot. All right, Travis Smith, Player of the Year, Ithaca Senior Quarterback. Travis Smith was awarded the Player of the Year award in Division 5 and 6 from the AP. Smith, who hasn't lost in 3 years at Ithaca's signal caller, has had an incredible career, going 468 of 691 for 7,539 yards and a state record 100 touchdown passes and only 16 interceptions. That is quite a stat line for Travis Smith. Now, in addition to his eye-popping pass number, Smith has added 2,372 yards on 350 carries and 48 rushing yards. This sounds like stats from Madden 2014. This is unbelievable. Now, the future Toledo Rockets award is well-deserved, and nobody knows this more than his coach. Terry Hesbrook said of him, quote, "He's 40-0 as a starter for us. That's pretty good. He's put in endless hours working on his mechanics and footwork for us. He's our coach on the field. If we have something called and it doesn't look right, he makes the challenge. He makes the change at the line to something that will work." And of course, we, you know, today we have a special show for you. As mentioned at the top of the hour, we're going to have Terry Hesbrook on the show in just a second to talk about Ithaca's incredible run and Travis Smith's new award. Unbelievable stuff. Travis Smith, he is the player of the year in high school football. All right, Winston decision is 2 weeks away, folks. Florida State quarterback and Heisman hopeful Jameis Winston will have to wait at least 2 more weeks before the state attorney's office decides whether or not to bring charges for the sexual assault allegations brought forth last December. Now, this is from William Meggs, who is the state attorney for the Second Judicial Court in Tallahassee, Florida. Quote, "Believe it or not, we have other cases we're involved in. We haven't shut down our office to focus entirely on this case." Now, one of the case's top assistants is currently working on a capital murder case next week, which is being cited as the main reason for the delay. Of course, the off-campus incident from last December was hung over Winston and Knowles the last few weeks as Florida State rules state, any player charged with a felony will be immediately suspended, barring, quote, "extraordinary circumstances as determined by the administration." Now, Florida State will attempt to go to a perfect 12-0 this Saturday when they go against Gainesville to face the Florida Gators. The ACC title game will be the following Saturday, meaning Winston will likely play in both games before a decision is made. So there's a slight delay there. All right, Kobe, weeks away, folks. Fresh off signing a 2-year, $48.5 million contract extension with the Los Angeles Lakers, injured star Kobe Bryant said he was still probably weeks away from returning to the lineup. Now, Bryant tore his Achilles, of course, in the last game of the season last year. And according to Bryant, the contract, which will make him the highest-paid player in the league over the next two seasons, was the first offer the Lakers presented. This is from Brian. Quote, "We had no conversation whatsoever. The only number that I saw was the one that I agreed to." Now, while the salary is certainly hefty, Brian is in no rush to risk injury and come back to the court too soon. The contract will also keep Kobe in purple and gold for his entire 20-year career, besting John Stockton's 19 years with the Jazz as the longest NBA tenure with one team. And that's our Barbershop Wednesday topic today. It concerns Kobe and that $48.5 million contract extension. What are your thoughts on the contract extension? I want you to call in 517-355-9527. And we also are asking whether or not Kobe Bryant will be any shade of his former self before that Achilles injury when he does return to the hardwood in weeks. So we want you to weigh in on that, 517-355-9527. All right, Seahawks cornerback Walter Thurman was officially suspended Tuesday for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. Thurman took to Twitter to apologize on Sunday, writing, "Yes, I made a mistake and I have to live with the consequences. I'm disappointed in myself for letting my teammates and family down." Now, Thurman has started 3 games this season for Seattle, one where he had his first interception of the season and returned it 29 yards for a touchdown. Now, Thurman will be eligible to return to the roster December 23rd. All right, Redskins criticized for cold talkers. Now, the Washington Redskins gave a pretty nice tribute to NFL's salute to service by honoring the Navajo cold talkers of World War II during a timeout. Now, Navajo Cold Talkers is the name for a select group of Marines in World War II who created an unbreakable code based on the Navajo language. Pretty cool stuff. But it came hardly criticized, as people said the NFL salute to service was not the only reason for the tribute. The Washingtonian called it a publicity stunt more awkward than the Redskins' failure to convert on 4th-and-2. The Nation columnist Dave Zurin wrote, quote, "It does not take a cold talker to crack this particular code. Dan Snyder is on the wrong side of history." Pro golfer Nota Bigay III even weighed in, saying, "If you ask me, it is offensive. And I think it's just a very clear example of institutionalized degradation of an ethnic minority. And the Oninian Indian Nation, which has been running radio ads opposing the team name in Washington, is for the first time running ads in other markets. So they took a lot of heat really looking at the whole Cole Talker tribute as kind of a cop-out to the whole Washington Redskins, really not looking like they're going to change their name, or I should say as recently. It looks like it's not going to be done. So looks like a kind of a cop-out for to have the Cole Talkers there. That's what many people feel. I don't know. You make your own opinion on that. All right, well, those are your current sports headliners on this November 27, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, pick up that phone. Yes, I'm talking to you. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. I have nightmares about this call because I say it so much every single day. Again, 517-355-9527. And tell us what's on your mind in the sports world and give us a score prediction for tomorrow's Thanksgiving showdown. That's right, between the Packs and Lions. What do you think is going to happen on Turkey Day? Again, 517-355-9527. Okay, let's shift gears for a minute, folks. Let's now talk to a man who is the head coach of a team that has certainly been making quite the buzz around not just the mid-Michigan football scene, but folks around the entire high school football scene across the nation. Yes, they have the longest active winning streak in the entire nation. It still blows my mind when I think about that. 55 consecutive games won and a chance to make it 56 this Friday as they go for another state title, taking on Clinton at 4:30 p.m. down at Ford Field. It's my pleasure to welcome one of my favorite coaches in the area, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets, Terry Hesbrook. Welcome back to Current Sports. How you doing, Terry?
Good, Al. How are you doing today? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Very, very well. I know you're doing very, very well as well, my brother.
Yeah, we're enjoying this, that's for sure.
Without a doubt. First of all, Terry, you know, when you just sit back and think about this incredible season, again, I mean, you guys do it again. Go undefeated. You got a chance to win another state title. First off, I got to ask you the cliche question here. How does it feel?
It feels great. We're living
college
a dream
football,
here.
Georgia Southern, 1AA versus Florida.
The entire community of Ithaca, we're living a dream.
I'm definitely sure. Now, I gotta ask you: did you ever fathom of being here yet again?
Well, we thought we had a pretty good squad coming back. We had, you know, I mean, we were hoping, you know, to get back to this point. Worked real hard. Had a tremendous senior class coming back.
Yeah.
With the trigger guy Travis Smith, you know, and when you got a guy like that, you got a chance.
Without a doubt. Now I got to ask you, because Travis Smith has been named, as we talked about in our headliners, folks, been named the first ever Michigan High School Football Player of the Year. I mean, just think about that, Terry. Talk about what Travis has done over his 4 years at Ithaca, and what makes him such a special player.
Well, I think there's a couple things. First of all, what a humbling experience, and it's an honor to have an opportunity to coach a player of his caliber. Playing in a small school in the middle of Michigan. So that's one thing that's fantastic. He's got a couple of things that really stand out. You know, he's so athletic. He's so poised in the pocket, and he's very motivated. You know, as he was injured last year in our state championship game and really didn't get a chance to play, mm-hmm. he had a tremendous motivator all off season, and I'm very, very proud of him, and I'm so happy for him that he has a chance to maybe, you know, get back on Ford Field, because that was his goal when we left there last November. Was right. We're going to get back here, you know, and all the work that he put in, and so, you know, he's a special kid. You know, he's a good kid, and he's a good student, and, you know, you don't win by accident, Al. I've said that before. You
right.
know, we got, you know, some of these college coaches come in saying, man, this kid's a great kid. It's like, guys, you don't win games like this without having great kids. And I mean that.
Right. Without that, you know, and Terry, looking at Travis Smith's career so far, I mean, the man has gone 468 of 691 passes for over 7,000 yards, a state record 100 touchdown passes. This really blows my mind. Only 16 interceptions out of all his balls thrown. Terry, did you ever think when Travis first came to your team and made the team, when you looked at this kid, did you ever think he was going to be as good as he is?
Well, I don't know if I thought he would be as good as he's turned out to be. I don't think you ever say, hey, you got a quarterback that's going to win the next 41 games in a row.
Right, right, exactly.
I don't think you'd say that. But, you know, when we had Alex Nisnak here, you know, as a senior and Travis was a freshman, I remember telling some people, I go, we got a kid that's going to be pretty good, because everybody's like, well, I think, you know, it was a great run and you guys are done and, you know, nice seeing you and that kind of stuff. I was like, we got a kid that's going to be pretty good.
Right.
And I never dreamed, obviously, it was going to turn out this way.
Right, right. With without a doubt, does he have any offers from anyone right now, Terry?
He's committed to the University of Toledo.
He's going to the University of Toledo next year.
On June 7th, he committed to the University of Toledo. And wow, we're excited because that is a great staff down there that they put together. They run an offense very similar to what we do. And, you know, they're really an offense that can take advantage of his skills. And, you know, he's so dynamic because he can run and throw. Now, we haven't asked him to run the ball much this year just because we haven't needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And Al, not to brag, but a lot of our games, he doesn't get to play much in.
Mm,
you know what I mean?
Right,
so,
right.
You know, he in the regular season, he played in the second half, and I'm going to say maybe two games. The Williamston game and in our league championship game.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that,
and,
man.
Yeah, he comes out. When, you know, I mean, our scores sometimes have got out of hand.
Yeah.
So he would have – he might get 10 passes a game, and that's it.
Oh my! That's just speaking. That's another testament to what he does when he's out there. He's efficient, very efficient.
His numbers could be astronomical. You know, he's got the all-time touchdown passing record now for a career, and got in nine games this year. He played in four and a half of them, really.
Wow!
You know, because he came out of the game so early, or if he is, then you can't let him throw the ball because, you know, you're not trying to embarrass anybody, and
right,
and so you don't, you just run the ball, and the clock keeps running, and you get off the field.
Right.
You know, and that's happened throughout his entire career because the team has been so dominant.
Mm-hmm.
We've won 55 games in a row. We've had two games decided by less than 10 points.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff.
The one last week. And again, I'm not, you know, patting ourselves on the back, but I'm just saying what I'm trying to get across. The point is Travis's numbers are fantastic. They could be out of this world.
Yeah.
You know, Jason Fracassa had the record from Sterling Heights Stevenson. And Al, he had 200 or 300 more attempts than Travis.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
so when
we could be talking about
it like that. Yeah, you're talking about this could be unbelievable, but we haven't needed to do that. And Travis would be the first one to tell you this isn't about Travis and this isn't about records. You know what I mean? Our goal is to win the state championship, and everybody remains focused on that. So, and he's surrounded by some darn good football players.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, we got some of the best receivers we've ever had at Ithaca. I mean, they are tremendous athletes. So it doesn't happen by accident, buddy.
Not at all, Terry. Not at all. And you know what? I was down there at Ford Field last year when Travis was injured early in that game against Constantine. And, you know, he sat out and the tears were flowing. And you talk about, you know, in your just a minute ago about that being a motivator for him in the off season and coming into this season. I mean, what did you tell him coming into this season and about that moment when he did get injured using that? Because I'm sure you, as a coach, you probably used that as a tool to get the most out of your quarterback this season.
Absolutely. I got a minor in psychology.
There you go.
So, you know, sometimes you spin things. And when, you know, Travis was the first one, and I was so proud of him that as soon as he got healthy, he made his mission to get this team back there. You know, to get his senior year, we're playing at Ford Field. You know, that was his goal. And he did that because he put the time in the weight room, and he put the time in conditioning, and he put the time in with his receivers running routes. I mean, we'd get done with a 7-on-7 or we'd get done with practice, and those guys stay out there.
Wow.
You know, and,
yeah,
and you know, that's it doesn't happen. And by accident, like I said, on Friday nights or on Saturdays, whatever it is, he makes it look so easy. But him and Logan Hesbrook and him and Eli and Josh and his brother Jake, those guys run routes after routes after routes, you know, in the gym in the winter and outside on the field in the spring and all summer long. It's really amazing. It's the type of work ethic that those kids have. And I think it's fantastic, and it's a great story because you're seeing it pay off for them now.
That is incredible dedication, Terry. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'm talking with Terry Hesbrook, head football coach over at Ithaca High School. They have one of the best programs in the nation, folks. They go for another state title this Friday at 4:30 p.m. down at Ford Field in Detroit. How are you guys preparing for Clinton, Terry?
We're going to see a team in Clinton that looks a lot like Ithaca. Especially our Ithaca team in 2010. They got a real nice quarterback. They've got some very talented receivers with tremendous speed. A running back that's maybe one of the fastest players that we've ever played against. Mm-hmm. And we are going to see some spread stuff that looks a lot like Ithaca's offense.
Right.
You know, they're gonna run. The running plays are very similar to what we do. Some of their chat series stuff is very similar to the stuff that we run. And it's good. I think it should be a really entertaining game for the fans.
So you're playing. You're looking yourself in the mirror. Then I mean, you're playing against a team that looks just like you. How do you combat that? That's got to be tough.
I'm not sure. And our defensive coordinator's pulling his hair out. What hair he has, Brad Showers, he's pulling it out because I'm telling you, this is a major challenge this week, and I truly mean that. And they're a very, very impressive team. Anybody that in the semifinals mercies their opponent, they're for real.
Right.
And they had a running clock last week against, I thought, a team that was pretty good.
Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable stuff. Now, you talked about you minoring in psychology, Terry. You know, something special that I came to find out was that during, I think it was yesterday's practice at MSU's football indoor practice facility, did you have a special speaker talk to your team?
Yes, we did. What an honor to have Dwayne Vernon, come in. He's an Ithaca alumni, 1949 alumni of Ithaca, and he got a chance to speak with our team, and that was fantastic. It was an honor for all of us to get a chance to hear Dwayne just, you know, share his experiences at Ithaca and just talk about the pride, you know, that, you know, you talk about that all the time as a coach and the tradition, and it was really nice to hear him speak to our players.
Unbelievable stuff. How did your players, how did they respond to the speech he gave?
Oh, very positively, very positive. You know, I think, you know, they're all, you know, looking at him like, well, who is this guy, you know, and then Dwayne starts talking, and he's got such passion for Ithaca and where he's from, and you try and instill that in your kids is, darn it, be proud of where you're from. You know, you're from Ithaca, and when you go out in this world, you know, you can always look back and say, you know, I'm an Ithaca Yellow Jacket, and I'm dang proud of it. And that's the kind of stuff we want to instill in our kids.
That's great stuff, Terry. I love that, man. Now, you know, before I let you go, I have to bring up the streak. Okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you already know. You know, every journalist you talk to, Terry, you probably get this question a million times in one day. The streak. You guys are going for number 56 now. And Terry, you know, me and you have talked about this countless times, just about every time we talk, and you always tell me they all count one. You got to take it one game at a time, the cliche stuff.
I'm going to say the same thing. It don't matter. Come Friday at 4:30, that streak ain't going to help us.
Right, that's true.
As much as I wish it could, you know, it's not going to help us with any points or any tackles or anything.
And
Clint, you know, what it does is it just makes the opponent that much more hungry, I think, to we're the team that beat them or stop the streak or use that as motivation if you're on the other side of the ball. But I want to say our players and their resolve and their resiliency and their ability to just bounce back in the face of adversity has been unreal throughout this. We've been behind 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
3 weeks in a row we've been behind. I mean, we're playing good football teams. You played Negaunee. I mean, oh, my God, Negaunee was amazing. And then this last week against Montrose and the week before against Maple City Glen Lake. And we got behind every one of them games. And our kids just, you know, they just look at each other and they high-five each other. Let's just keep playing. Let's just, you know, let's see where this ends up.
No sense of panic at all in those moments.
That's the best. That's been carrying that, you know, that big weight on their shoulders. That's the thing that I think I'm one of the most proud of. Maybe not most proud of, but one of the things that I'm most proud of is that they don't seem to bother them. And now we get to play indoors, thank goodness, after last week's just horrendous weather conditions.
Right.
And our kids just love the spotlight. You know, I mean, we got some kids that just, they get a chance to play indoors and run around on turf, and they just love that stuff. You know, when the lights come on and And I can't wait. Tomorrow will be a long Thanksgiving day, I'm sure.
I'm sure, man. That is great stuff, Terry. You know, because, I mean, you talk about this streak. I mean, if I was a player, I would probably be panicking if I'm down. And you guys escaping with a one-point victory over Montrose. I mean, what was going through your head after that game, Terry?
Well, we were ahead 21-14. And the ironic thing is Travis Smith undercut a receiver, so I thought he had a pick, and he didn't come up with it. The receiver caught it, ran in the end zone, make it 21-20. Mm-hmm. They run out to kick the extra point, and the poor young man misses it wide left. We were preparing for overtime. You know, when they scored, we're like, okay, what are we going to do here? We're going to be in overtime, and because we had to go into the wind, and we didn't think too much of that, and so we thought we're just going to go into overtime here, and you know, you got to be lucky. I guess, you know, everybody tells me when you're going to do something special, sometimes you got to have a game that I don't know that you kind of get by, you know, and I guess that's what we did. You know, in 2011, it was the Montague game.
Yeah.
We won that game in overtime. Otherwise, there is no back-to-back, nothing. There is no streak. There is no nothing, you know, and you got to have some luck along the way. And I certainly called in a few prayers, I think, that day.
I'm sure. Well, I tell you what, the man upstairs definitely has Ithaca's back. I tell you that. Asked for 55 games, Terry.
Yeah.
Now, Terry, before I let you go, you know, first of all, I want to wish you guys good luck this Friday. I definitely can't wait to, you know, to see that one as you guys take on Clinton and, you know, just a remarkable ride you guys have been on. I want to ask you, Terry, before I let you go, if whatever happens on this Friday, win or lose, I want you, when you think back at this season, just choose one word to sum it up and why did you choose that word?
Oh boy, that's tough. Just one word to describe this season.
One word, man.
Unbelievable.
And why?
Because the reason is what these players have accomplished. It hasn't been done in the state of Michigan in, you know, where there's been no streak even close to this in 30, 40 years. And what these kids are carrying on their back and continue to amaze our entire community and really the entire state. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's quite a story. If you wrote a story, I don't know if you could. It would be too corny. You know, people wouldn't believe it. You know?
Right.
We're gonna lose our starting quarterback in 2011, and then we're gonna put a sophomore in, and he's gonna win the rest of his games, and he's gonna get hurt in the state championship his junior year, and then we're gonna put the coach's nephew in, and he's gonna throw for two touchdowns. You know,
right.
You know, that's Disney stuff.
I'm telling you what. In a few years, it's gonna be the Yellow Jacket story. I'm telling you, it's gonna
go.
Denzel Washington to play you or something. You know. It's going to be crazy, Terry.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there you have it. Terry Hesbrook, the head football coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets. Terry, always a pleasure, and good luck on Friday.
Thank you very much, Al. Can't wait. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, bud. Take care. Happy Thanksgiving.
Right. Thank you.
Oh, boy, Terry Hesbrook, he is a class act. And I always tell people, you know, Terry was one of the first coaches I covered, you know, here as a young journalist when I was at Channel 6 News. They were my very first team of the week, actually, when I was at Channel 6. And Terry was one of the first coaches I met. A class act, just down-to-earth good guy. And his kids, they are a blue-collar type of team. A deserving program. Again, they take on Clinton this Friday, 4:30 p.m. down at Ford Field to win a chance to win four state championships in a row. Remarkable stuff. Good luck to Ithaca. All right, well, let's talk, sticking on football. MSU football, of course, they're trying to close their season on a positive note. Of course, they take on, this weekend, they take on Minnesota to close out the season. It's senior day, seniors are leaving, and, of course, D'Antonio, he addressed the media in his weekly presser, and here's a little bit of what he had to say.
This time, hey, we were 5-6 football team getting ready to play this last game and striving forward. And you look and see, and you look at this season, now we're going for our 11th win. So it talks in terms of the difference between average and great is not all that much if you're looking in the right direction. But our seniors have an opportunity to win their 40th game this weekend, which would mean that they would average winning 10 games a year for 4 years, which I think is amazing in that capacity. And then also, you know, they still have two more games beyond that. So it's really a benchmark for a program of that's been in existence for 118 years. You look at our football team right now, and you always look at the stats, and we're one game away from, I guess, finishing the Big Ten, and you're one game away from finishing this season, statistically, in my mind, 12 games. But we lead the conference, and I think it's important to recognize that fact. We lead the conference in 15 categories. Michigan State leads the conference, not individually, not individual people, but in 15 categories, we lead the conference. And you can look those up and go through them, or I can recite them. But I think that's very telling in terms of where we're at as a program right now and the success that we've had. You don't get there without doing good things. It's been a team effort in a lot of ways. We don't have the leading tackler in the conference. We have a bunch of guys who tackle well at a high rate. And we don't have the leading rusher in the conference, but we have guys that are moving forward and progressing at a high rate. We don't have the leading receiver, but we got a whole group of guys who catch the ball very effectively. So we have a good football team that is achieving at a very high rate as a team. And when you look at us, I think we have the fewest interceptions. We have the fewest turnovers. We have the highest turnover ratio, in terms of turnovers gained. We have the biggest possession time on offense. And defensively, we have a ton of statistics. I think everybody's got a story, first of all. There's a story with all of us. And so, that's one of the things that I always say to our football team. Everybody here has a story. You want to talk about Jeremy Langford, how he probably we were the only people in the Big Ten to offer him. Got a late offer from Colorado. Had a lot of offers, but Mid-American Conference offers. And then just having that journeyman approach. I'm watching special teams from this past year and against Minnesota, and two huge plays in the game, Jeremy Langford makes plays on special teams. So he's always been a good football player for us, but how he's sort of come on and become a very dynamic player for us. If you look at Benny Fowler, he's been hurt and couldn't play for two of his years. Could actually get his sixth year if he wanted to. But he's been able to basically rally back at every turn. Making the transition back to just playing, and now he's one of our leading receivers. If you look at Blake Treadwell, he's a defensive lineman that he comes here, and now he's an offensive lineman. Fofanodi is a guy that highly recruited junior college guy that was Auburn. It was Auburn, us, UCLA. He chose to come here, and starts 1 year, then has a broken leg, and right before the Notre Dame game, and he goes through that year. But now, what a blessing that has become, because now he's going to get his degree at mid-year here, and go off into the sunset after a great football season, great career here. So there's a lot. There's just a lot of guys. Daquez Denard coming from where he's come from, down in Twiggs County. There's just a lot of people.
Yeah, so that's head coach Mark D'Antonio. He addressed the media yesterday. This week they have Minnesota at home, the final home game of the season against Minnesota. Again, it's senior day. The seniors bid adieu to a great season, one heck of a season. And as they move on now, of course, they still have the Big Ten Championship game. Current Sports will be there. That's December 7th down in Indy. And, this season certainly has been remarkable for this team. Also want to know, did breaking news really quick for the Red Wings. The Red Wings signed Jonathan Erickson to a contract extension. Terms are not disclosed right now. That just came through. Just wanted to shout that out there for you guys. But also, this season for the MSU football team has many, many people feeling some type of way, especially in the locker room after each victory this season for this team, literally and figuratively. The Spartans have celebrated their 10 wins by dancing to the song Some Type of Way. Yeah, you know that? Yeah, that's a very popular song by rapper Rich Homie Quan, and the recording artist has responded with a personalized shout-out of sorts. Here he is.
I want to give a shout out to the number one defense in the nation, man. Go State, man. I know y'all won today, so that means y'all advanced to the Big Ten game against Ohio State, man. You got to go out there and turn up and make them feel some type of way. Rich on me, baby. Rich,
Quan. That right, too.
Think it's a game.
My been hurt. stress, trying to make him something. Ain't no telling what he'll do for the paper.
Ain't no telling.
Souffle, I'm straight. I stay my plate. Shot day, I'm a smooth operator.
I drop top of my wheel, baby.
That car I'm driving make you feel some type of way.
I know you do.
That custom Breitling make you feel some type of way.
I'm shining.
Deep chum, we got me feeling some type.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, what a show. What a show, what a show. We just played you some type of way from Richie Kwan, I think is his name. Yeah, Rich Homie Kwan. He's a Atlanta-based rapper. Of course, after every single Michigan State victory this season, the Michigan State football team has a tradition where they go in the locker room and they dance and jump. Even D'Antonio and the coaching staff participates in it, and they sing some type of way from Rich Homie Kwan's song. And Rich Homie heard about it and decided to get the MSU football team a shout out. That's pretty cool stuff. So, all right, well, we also had Terry Hesbrook on the show just a minute ago. If you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, Terry Hesbrook, the head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jacket football team. If they try to go for four straight state championships this Friday at 4:30 p.m. down at Ford Field, they take on Clinton. Clinton, which is also undefeated, they're 13-0 this season, a very, very good team. But Ithaca, again, they have the longest winning streak in the entire nation, 55. They can make it 56 with this cap win this Friday for another state championship. We'll see what happens. But, man, Terry's such a great guy, great program there. All right, Lions are scumbags. Have you heard this one, folks? Again, at the top of the hour, Tuesday, Packers offensive lineman Josh Sitton, he went on radio in Milwaukee and called the Lions a bunch of scumbags. This is during an interview with WSSP AM. He didn't hold anything back. He criticized Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinators, the defense. This is just, I'll read these two quick quotes from Sitton. He says, quote, "They go after quarterbacks. Their entire defense takes cheap shots all the time. That's what they do. That's who they are. They're a bunch of dirtbags or scumbags. That's just how they play. That's how they're coached." Taking a direct jab at Jim Schwartz there, defensive coordinator Gunther Cunningham, and defensive line coach Chris Korak. He said, quote, "That starts with their, quote, freaking coach. That starts with their head coach, Schwartz. He's a blah, 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 too. I wouldn't want to play for him. It starts with him and their D coordinator and their D line. They're all just scumbags, and so are the D line." Well, guys, I'm joined by Alex and Matt right now to discuss the whole Lions are scumbags quote from Josh Sitton. And what were your guys' reaction when you heard it, first off?
He seems like, you know,
seems bitter about
personally
something.
Attacked or something, like he's got something really against the Lions. I don't know why you would say that, especially if you're going against a team who you think is dirty, why you would say this leading up to it, unless you're trying to, you know, draw more attention to potential dirty plays so that maybe you get a few penalty calls or something. But really, I would be more worried about how terrible the Packers' offensive line is and how they haven't been able to protect any of their quarterbacks this year.
Yeah.
And now they're going against one of the better D-lines in football. Could get ugly.
It could. Alex?
Yeah, I mean, the comment's obviously amateur, but at the same time, there has been some dirty play from the Detroit Lions, linemen specifically. And I do see how someone could think that they are dirty. Let's not rule
that
out.
Give me some examples. Talking about Sue specifically, I'm assuming.
No need, yes, yes. No need to even cite it. We all know cats out of the bag is an Adam and Sue. And I believe that he was targeting specifically Sue, saying without saying, if you catch my drift. But yeah, it was an amateur move. I would agree. Why would you say that? But what I'm thinking of is why just the scumbag reference? Why that? Because for me, that doesn't do anything. It's like kind of like a 10-year-old or like a just like a, I don't know, guy
kind of
sitting
immature,
on the couch.
You're a butthead.
You're a bunch of buttheads. Yeah, right. I was just gonna say that.
You're mean and a butthead like that.
It just doesn't sound like a real diss to me. It just,
Yeah, for me, when I heard it, first of all, I like drama in sports. I like the trash talk, and I like the back and forth. I hate the let's be friends type of thing. I you know, when I heard it, I'm like, okay, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day because of these comments. And you talk about, you know, this Lions defensive line, which has been, in my opinion, you know, one of the best in the league this season so far. And you talk about Ndamukong Suh. Granted, yes, Alex, he has had his moments of, you know, question here and there when you talk about dirty play in that regard. And, you know, some people take offense. I mean, you even had, you know, I talked about Brandon Marshall, you know, bringing up his comments that were, you know, the Lions defense plays borderline illegal. You know what I mean? It's not the first time we've heard a player taking a jab at this Lions defense and calling them dirty. In all honesty, I kind of like it. I think this Lions defense is starting to develop an identity, whether them being looked at as the bad guys is a bad thing. I don't think it is. I think they have an identity now, and teams know that, you know, it's not going to be a walk in the park if you play them. It's going to be, you might get some cheap jabs here and there. It's going to be a tough game. You know what I mean? Which I like. I like that persona.
Right. You're going to be sore Monday morning.
Exactly.
That's right. The main thing. But the one part that I didn't get was that he says, he's like, they go after quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's
Is
yeah,
that
that's
not
part,
their
yeah.
job?
Right. Exactly. That's in their job title. That's your job description.
Is he supposed to, you know, hand Aaron Rodgers a pillow before he plants him in the turf? What is that about? Come on.
This is
professional football.
Exactly.
That's what they're getting paid to do, is to knock your quarterback out of the game.
Right.
Now,
I
they
totally
go
agree.
Overzealous? Maybe. But, I mean, at least they're giving great effort.
Yeah, this is football. At the end of the day, I think in this regard, Sitton was trying to say going after him is trying to injure them purposely, which I think crosses the line. I think that's what Sitton was trying to say, but I know what you're saying, man.
Right,
like,
just,
that's in their job description. Yeah. If Sue puts, you know, rock bottoms Aaron Rodgers in the backfield, hey, that's part of the game, baby. Get back up and play another down.
Yeah, maybe protect him a little bit better next time.
Exactly. Exactly. It comes down to do your job and things will, you know. What really got me, though, was I want to talk about really quick, guys, Jim Schwartz, because we've heard, you know, this persona throughout the league about Jim Schwartz. It's not the first time that I've heard about Jim Schwartz being a what's the word? The word I wanted that came to my mind was not one I could say on the radio. But, you know, one that's kind of, he's not a good guy. He's not a nice guy, I would say. Not a classy guy, I would say. You know, I want to ask you guys, what is your opinion of Jim Schwartz? Do you guys look at him like that?
Well, I think the team is kind of a reflection of Jim Schwartz, and all the personal foul penalties are kind of a reflection of Jim Schwartz. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it really look no further than the press conference after Pittsburgh. Anytime, right. You know, anytime things
talking
go wrong,
the field goal.
Gets defensive.
Yeah.
Gets very defensive.
Yes.
He is never wrong. Never wrong. He's smarter than every other coach in the league, and yet his teams are among the most undisciplined.
Yeah, see, and I disagree here, because when have you never seen a coach that isn't defensive about himself? I feel like half the coaches in the NFL are always defensive.
But, you know, no. To this degree. I mean, like, you know, we've seen other coaches, if they screw up, let's go back to that field goal call. It was the wrong call. You know what I mean? And I would, after that, like you said, man, he seemed very defensive, like, well, to a degree where it was like, they're challenging your manhood or something. No, we're not challenging your manhood on the call. We're just saying it was a bad call. And he's sitting up there like, we're not scared of anything. You know what I mean? If anybody questions our toughness, blah, blah. It's not even about that. We had a caller really quick on line one. John from Holt. How you doing, John? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, good, man. I wanted to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone there. And I was wondering, do you happen to know what the all-time record for most wins in a row is in high school football in Michigan?
Ithaca has it.
That's of all time.
Yes, of all time. Ithaca has it right now. This 55, I don't know when it was broken. But
I was going to ask you whose record they broke, if you knew.
Yeah, I have no idea, John. But, yeah, right now this 55 wins in a row is the longest in Michigan high school football history and also the longest in the United States of America.
Are they tied with a team from Iowa, or did that team lose already?
I believe they lost already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought they were tied with a team from Iowa City, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah. But thanks for your call, Jay. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, take care, man. Have a good one.
You, too. So, but yeah, I mean, I could definitely see why Jim is looked at as this kind of, because, you know, frankly, looking at him, you know, when you see him in the pressers and you see, you know, go back to the whole Harbaugh incident.
I was just going to say, how many coaches try and get in a fist fight in the post-game handshake?
Right, exactly.
I was going to bring that up too.
Right, with the handshake and the slap on the back and the throwing down of the headphones that we see. He just seems like an angry type of guy.
At the same time, I don't know about the Harbaugh thing because he demanded the respect, but he wasn't a mean guy with the Harbaugh thing. He was saying, "Hey, you need to shake my hand, sir. You know, you need to shake my hand, sir." It wasn't like a,
I don't know.
I'm a mean guy. I didn't see it like that.
Chasing him off the field and barking at him.
Yeah,
oh, he was.
Like he looked like he looked like an NFL player.
Oh, of course he did. But what Jim Harbaugh did wasn't necessarily right either. So,
no, not at all.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'm not saying
both
he's
sides.
In the right, but
yeah, I can see both sides. But bottom line, I think Schwartz is a pit bull, and I can see why people, you know, echo throughout the league that, you know, he's kind of a, I don't want to use that word, if you know what I mean. You know the word I'm looking for.
But honestly, that was good for the Lions because where they were, 0-16, laughingstock of the league, you needed a coach with an edge. But mm-hmm. now that they're in a position to actually compete for a playoff spot and a Super Bowl, that kind of stuff doesn't really fly anymore because right. It costs you wins potentially.
It definitely does. It definitely does. I can definitely see that side of it too. All right, we have Austin on line one from East Lansing. Austin, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Al, my brother, you all right, man?
My man, how you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm just, you know, on the highway on the way to Detroit. I'm actually going to the game tomorrow.
Nice.
And, just wanted to give some input, man. I think Jim Schwartz is a good coach. But like you all have been saying, it shows that he's not good when it comes to the area of discipline. Because just watching the game, it's a lot of unnecessary personal fouls. I mean, you got Nick Fairley throwing quarterbacks down seconds after they throw the pass. And then you got Jim Schwartz throwing his headset down after the game.
Yeah.
And I think for the Lions to really play to their potential, they need a more mature coach that's going to get the most out of them and that's not scared to grill them to say, look, y'all need to get it together. All these personal fouls got to stop. Because if you think about it, man, they're killing their potential with this macho, I'm the man, I'm bad attitude that they have.
So you don't like that persona that they have? That bad boy look image.
It's needed. But when it affects the outcome of the game, then that's when you got to check it a little bit. And I think they need a more mature coach that can keep that in line. Because like I said, it's good to have that attitude. Obviously, on the gridiron. But once it starts to get out of hand and you got players getting fined $100,000 and, you know, numbers like that, then that's when it becomes a problem. And you really need to check it.
Thank you, Austin, for your call. I think, guys, Austin is dead on with his assessment right there. I think you do. You do. I mean, this is football. This is a macho game. This is a lot of testosterone out there. We're hitting guys left and right. You gotta play with an edge and a sort of toughness when you're out there, which I think this Lions team definitely has, especially that defensive line. They're great. But at the same time, when it gets out of hand, you start talking about those penalties, those personal fouls that are costing you, you know, yardage and possibly games in certain instances. It needs to be in check, and I don't know if Jim is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, look at last Thanksgiving against the Texans when
exactly.
He throws the challenge flag because he's so upset that they missed the call, and then he ends up costing the team the touchdown anyway. It's those kind of things.
Right.
And I think you can be the kind of person, and you can have that kind of behavior if you are, let's say, a position coach or even a coordinator. You mm-hmm. can have that edge, but as the head coach, you are the CEO of that football team. You better have it buttoned down, you better have it in control, and you better have everybody doing their jobs. You shouldn't be, mm-hmm. you know, getting swept up in emotion on the sidelines. You are the head coach of the team. You're the guy at the top. Everything comes to you. You have to have everything under control. You can't fly
right.
off the handle.
I totally agree with you. So, I mean, we'll see. I don't see any signs of Jim changing. I think Jim is going to be like this, you know, throughout his probably entire coaching career. He's got a fire to him that I just think it could be channeled in different ways. So,
agreed.
There you go. All right, Lions and Packers again. They will go at it on Thanksgiving Day tomorrow. Cannot wait for that.
Closing off the Lions, I'm going to say one thing. Okay. No need to start a debate here. Not going to go to it. But the only defense I would have for this bad boy image is this is the first time they're actually a legitimate playoff contender mm-hmm. with the image.
This is the first time they've had an image.
Right, right, right.
Period,
so I think it's something they can mesh with. I mean, the Pistons had I mean,
right. Like I said, like I said, I like it
with bad images. Too,
right, I so. Like the bad yeah. boy image. I just think it should be
toned down a little bit.
Kind of, sure. It should that kind of nurtured in a way. You know what I mean? Yeah. It channeled in different areas. So, but I definitely agree with you, Alex, on that. So, all right, guys. Man, time flies on this show. 5 minutes left. Barbershop. We're gonna do a quick mini Barbershop Wednesday. Kobe Bryant's contract, $48.5 million. $48.5 million. And we have picks as well. We'll get to picks later. Really quick, guys, what are your thoughts on Kobe's contract extension, and will he be a shade of what he was before the injury?
Let me just say this. The Lakers have some kind of strange fetish because they are literally paying $48 million for an Achilles. They are literally buying into an Achilles
tendon. So you think this is too risky?
I think it's so risky. Do you know what it takes to return from an Achilles injury? I don't care if it's Michael Jordan. Do you understand the limitations of an Achilles injury?
Right. It's one of the worst sports injuries. Yeah.
One of the worst.
It is.
And regardless if it's Michael Jordan or if you're Boobie Miles, if you're invincible, okay? There is no way you're going to come back 100% Kobe Bryant after this. There's no way.
Right. I think, you know, I was listening to the radio yesterday, and I believe that I forget the player's name, who the other previous player, you know, star athlete who had an Achilles injury, but he came back. He was around Kobe's age, and his productivity went down. They did the math. It was less than 50%. Well, more than 50%. So it's a tough injury. What do you think, Matt? Go ahead.
You know, there's no way that he comes back the same player. I mean, his athleticism was waning anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's 35 years old, and an Achilles injury, like you said, it's devastating, especially at an advanced age like that. But if there's anybody who's going to change his game and tailor it around what he actually can do, it's going to be Kobe Bryant. You know, I think he's still going to be able to hit those shots from the elbow. The only thing is he worth $24 million a year? Under no circumstances.
But here's the thing, guys.
When I looked at this move and I looked at this contract, I think the reason the Lakers did it is because they finally now have the room to do it, I guess you can say, if you want to argue that, because they have the room to give him $48.5 million, making him the highest paid in the league. And they kind of, you know, looking at the reports of this, kind of making up for the past when they weren't able right. to do it. And you were talking about Kobe Bryant here, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. They felt they owed him something here. And we're talking about Kobe Bryant. Kobe has done, I mean, he's stuck with the Lakers through thick and thin, has been with this organization his entire basketball career. So I think, if anything, this move was made to kind of show the Lakers loyalty to Kobe in a way. That's why they decided to give him this 48, this outrageous contract. Well, is it worth? Is the question here is if that money worth what Kobe can do on the court
no.
after the injury? Heck no. You're crazy if you're saying yeah. Kobe is going to have to tailor his game to that injury now. He's not going to be the athletic Kobe we've seen in the past, throwing down dunks on people left and right. He has returned to practice. But again, he said it himself in the press conference yesterday. His game is going to be changed and tailored in a way, maybe to how Jordan's was later in his career. We saw the MJ fadeaway emerge. You know, more of a mid-range game and not more of attacking to the rim.
And what I was going to say is Kobe is such an elusive player. He doesn't have a LaMarcus Aldridge kind of, you know, he doesn't have a LaMarcus Aldridge high wingspan or high arc, but he's so creative how to create his own shot. And part of that is his athleticism. And yes, he still will be able to create a shot to an extent, but not nearly the same. So will he be able to hit his shots from the elbow? I don't even know, man. I don't even know if he will.
No, he will. He will continue to hit shots from the elbow.
I don't think his shot is going
to
diminish.
I don't know if he'll be able to get an opportunity.
His explosiveness will diminish. His, you know, the way he attacks the basket, that will diminish. Maybe him getting up and down the court, you know, fast enough, that will diminish. Speed will diminish. But I think his mid-range game and his finesse game won't leave him that much.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But the big thing for me is $24 million over 2 years. That's a sizable chunk of your team salary. He can't be the lead guy at 36 and 37.
Man,
coming back from a torn Achilles, they're going to need somebody else to be the top dog, or at least be, you know, at the same level as him.
There's talks of Carmelo right now.
I don't see it. I don't see him leaving New York.
I don't know, man.
I just think, and even if he does, oh my gosh.
That would
How many baskets will go unassisted on that team if Kobe Bryant and Carmelo Anthony are on the same
team? Just jacking it up.
Oh
just
my gosh.
If that happens, there's going to have to be some compromise.
But like, do you want to pay $24 million to have Kobe Bryant in his, you know, twilight of his career, being unhappy because the team he's on is not good.
Right, right.
How are you going to fill out that roster and make them competitive enough so that he's a happy Kobe? Because happy Kobe is way better to have than angry Kobe, who is loud. And
yeah, we don't like it. No one likes angry Kobe. He's like, you know, it's how Jordan was. Jordan, I mean, nobody liked angry Jordan. But, oh, man. All right, well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to Terry Hesbrook for joining me today as they go for another state title, four in a row, try to move to 56 consecutive games won in high school football. That's just sick, redonkulous. Oh man, I can't wait for that game. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there. And as always, be easy, people.